See if I can get this to work any second. I'm going to show you. We're in a series called Unexpected Discipleship. You can see here myself, both of my boys. One of them's home with my wife, who's a little under the weather. And so we're in this sermon series on unexpected discipleship. There's things that all of us know as Christians, or that we've kind of encountered through Christian habits we think about. But there's some other things that surprise us, some other things that catch us off guard. And although you may not really get what's going on, it's actually right here in the picture. What are these boys doing? Those of you who are practical, many of you just look totally confused, like we have no idea what those boys are up to. Some of you, Cheryl, think... Oh, is that? Wow. That's a.
On the there.
Yeah.
And so that's what it kind of looks like. You're hanging them, but yet praying over them.
I wish I was that spiritually mature, Cheryl. You give us a lot of credit. Amen. Amen. You give us a lot of credit.
It's coming.
We moved in like many months ago, but we haven't hung many pictures on the wall. So what's actually happening is my wife is saying, well, I'd like to see what this picture looks like or that picture looks like. And then I could only hold one, so then our children are just old enough where my wife could say, now do what your father's doing. So then I'm like holding the picture, and Caleb on the left's holding a different one, and Dawson then gets in on the act, and he's like, let's do this. They're just doing what they see their father doing, because they don't really understand, like, you know, move the photo like this, or where's the stud, or how deep does the nail have to go, or are we going to use an anchor? That's all too much for them. But the message, just do what you see your father doing, is something they get. So they're like, okay, we'll do what dad's doing, which is to sit on the couch in a weird way, but hold this picture against the wall. And they learned, like, you have to get your head out of the way to, like, let mom visualize this. And what they're actually doing, for the record, is not what they see their father doing. It's what their mother's telling them to do. But she's taking the picture, so you know how that goes. For most of my life as a Christ follower, I've wondered, what am I supposed to do in certain situations? I can't exactly explain why, but I just sort of thought, well, I mean, I kind of know why. Like, we're supposed to obey God. He has a will. He's a person. He says things about how to live our life. So I thought, okay, I'm supposed to do certain things. But somewhere along the way, the scales kind of tipped, and I started to approach different decisions and be like, what am I supposed to do about this? And what am I supposed to do about that? And, well, what does he want me to choose when this opportunity comes? Or should I do this or should I do that? Or should I go there or this? You know what I mean, right? We all have these decisions. And I was sincerely motivated to do something right. But then along the way, in my 20s, as I was kind of stuck in this phase, in my 20s, this moment of unexpected discipleship happened for me. And I want to share that with you this morning. It's going to take some effort to kind of walk through the scriptures that brought me there. But this unexpected way, this different way of life altogether kind of leaped off the pages of Scripture. And I want to just kind of share that, this lesson as I learned, because it changed how I see the Christian life. I started to see the forest instead of the trees. The trees being all these individual decisions, I started to see the forest and to gain something that helped me every time I faced one of these decisions. So I just kind of want to pass that on to you. It'll take a little patience on your part because there are several scriptures in John. But we'll start with John chapter 5, verse 19. If you like to turn there, you're welcome to do so. I'm going to read each one of them, but at John chapter 5, 19 is where we're going to spend most of our time, and then we'll go to some other verses in John. So verse 19 of chapter 5, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. John, who recorded these words, is a man like you, a human like you. He followed Jesus. He had a relationship with Jesus. He spent time with Jesus, which I know we're not doing face-to-face like he did. But John believed that Jesus was the Son of God, sent for you and for me to change our lives forever, to address all of our needs, and to deal with everything we were struggling with. And that was Jesus. That was Jesus to John, and he wanted people forever to get it. So he recorded these events and these experiences and these words of Jesus, put them down so that we can continue reading them. And what he shares with us essentially is that Jesus was a real person who revealed himself to people, his power, his miracles, his good works, his love, his identity, everything he could. He passed on, he shared about himself. And he's the kind of God who creates new life. That's what he does. He creates new life, and he has that new life in him. It's not new to him, but it's new to us. He has that life in him. He puts it into people, and then they have a new life. An example is this verse I just read. Whatever I see the Father doing, that's what the Son is doing. Now, if you turn with me to John 6:38, Christ goes on. There's many comments Christ makes in the Gospel of John about himself, and John 6:38 is another one. Probably just one page over if you turn, or if you're on your phone, you scroll quite a bit and you'll get there. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven," this is Jesus speaking, "I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And then two chapters later, John 8:28, Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man," that's an anticipation of the crucifixion, when the Son of Man is lifted up onto a cross, "then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak the things as the Father has taught me." One more Bible verse from John. This is 14:10. John 14:10, Christ is talking, and he says to his disciples, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works." The whole point of John's gospel is this. Jesus is demonstrating he's the Messiah. That's the big idea that John's trying to get across. So there's all these little deep dives. You can take all these deep dives in every one of the 21 chapters, but John is particularly, specifically, and intentionally chosen these experiences and these messages from Christ to say, he's the Messiah, he's the Messiah, he's the Messiah. He's the Son of God, he's the Son of God, he's the Savior, over and over again. And in chapter 5 and all these other ones, whether it's talking to disciples or talking to religious leaders or talking to Greeks or whoever, Jesus is saying, take notice of who I am. Believe in who I am. You can trust me. Everything especially would be meaningful to the Jews to say, I'm the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah that you've been seeking. But for us as disciples, the unexpected discipleship piece that surprised me in my 20s, and which I suggest to you this morning, is how much of what you do is what you see God doing? How much of how you're living or what you're saying or how you're acting is what you see God doing? How often do you see God at work and join him in those activities? The application for us, aside from believe in Christ, I mean, that's better than anything I could tell you, but if you've done that, the application within the framework of the sermon is to be able to say to yourself on a Tuesday and a Thursday and a Saturday night when you're tired and when you feel good and everywhere else, to be able to say, I'm just doing what my daddy's doing. I'm just doing what my daddy's doing. What I realized this day that I'm talking about when I kind of somehow stumbled into reading the Gospel of John and realizing, oh, wait a second, do I see God at work? Oh, wait a second, I'm just supposed to do what I see my Father doing. Oh, I'm just supposed to say what he said to me. I just started to get this idea that Jesus is just living out this sort of ordinary thing of what God has done around him or is doing or is saying, and he just does that. And I realized that there's kind of a way I need summaries sometimes or lists. I'm kind of a lists person. So I'm going to share what I did here just to get a little list for you. And I want these to function for you in your brain a little bit like, how many of you have done a rock wall before? Like climbing a rock wall? It's got those handholds. I see a few. It's a blast. It's difficult for those who, if you go home, you can try it. It's a blast. They have a playground in West Barnstable called Luke's Love. It has one about this tall. So if you're feeling like you want to take it easy and get started, you know, this same thing. It's only 5 feet tall. Still has the plastic handholds. You can go right up it. You'll feel really good about yourself. And then when you want the bigger ones, you'll have to go Googling around and try to find it. But there's 60, 70 huge ones with ramps that go backward and you've got to hang upside down and all kinds of awesome stuff. What I want to do with these Bible verses is to give you something like a climbing wall. Places in your mind, places in your heart to put a handhold, to put a foothold, and to take, because I know this message is not as simple as, well, sing a song or say three prayers or bring a, you know, gift to church or love your neighbor by making them a meal when they're sick. Like, and that's all discipleship. That's all part of honoring God. I know this is not the same way, but think of it like a climbing wall as I go through these. The idea behind John 5:19 is, can you see God at work? Just at a starting point, like, do you see God at work? And we'll take a deep dive into what does that mean in a second. But can you see God at work? And then from John 6:38, he said, you might remember, but he said, I'm here to please my Father. I do nothing of my own initiative, but I'm just trying to please the Father. So it challenges us to ask the question, well, who am I trying to please? As I think about a situation or as I encounter some opportunity, who am I trying to please? The next one, also from John 6:38, is what has God taught you? What has God taught you? And this is something that's been helpful to me because a lot of times I think I already know the answer to my challenges or to the decisions I ought to make. And if I'll take a minute, if I can find a little time, which is challenging, but pull back and say, what has God already taught me? That probably sheds light on whatever the decision I'm making is, because he's already taught me something about himself or something about his will or something about what pleases him. And if I've said, I'm here to please him and he's already taught me a lot, chances are I'm pretty far along in doing what I see the Father doing. Another question, John 14:10, Jesus says, did you not know that the Father is in me and that I'm in the Father? And out of that comes an important question for you, I think, and for me. How can we fill ourselves up with the Father? We can fill ourselves up with all kinds of things, right? There's all kinds of thoughts and attitudes and experiences and sources of content, basically, that we can like fill ourselves up with. How could we fill ourselves up with the Father and be more in him and him more in us? That's going to help us be able to say, I'm just doing what my daddy's doing. For me, we ask these questions and they create handholds. They create places to put your feet as you climb up the spiritual mountain of God. Do I see God at work? Who am I trying to please? What's the Father taught me? And am I so immersed in the Father that I just do what he does? Am I so surrendered and surrounded by God that and him and me that I just do what he does? 2 years ago, we started homeschooling our oldest son. It was something that Hallie had always wanted to do. She just, you know, was like, I think homeschooling our sons would be great. And it was a good time. I mean, all the schools were essentially not meeting in person. So we were going to be homeschooling whether we wanted to homeschool or not, kind of. So we thought, let's take the plunge and give it a try. So we did it for kindergarten and it worked. And then we did it for first grade and it was all right. And then this year was second grade and it was not so smooth. It was not quite the same as first grade, not quite the same as kindergarten. And so we said, well, okay, we need to start making a decision here. This has to not go in the way we thought. So we found a private Christian school in Harwich that had opened in the last few years, and they had 3 days a week on campus that was school and 2 days a week at home that was also school. And they kind of did the legwork for those two home days, but it was still like, you're at school, you're just at home, and then you're on campus the other 3 days of the week. And so we were like, well, it's a little bit of a win-win. Maybe we give this a shot. Maybe this works out. So we give it a little bit of a win-win. Now, in the last few weeks, the school says, well, if you're coming back in the fall, you got to sign up again. So then we have to do that thing as adults, which is like, well, let's think about it again. How's it been going? Would we sign up again? You know, there's all the decisions of what do you do? And well, all the things that come up as adults, right? So we do the pros and the cons and talk about the good and the bad and the stresses and the shortcomings and the imperfections and all this other stuff. And we pray about it and we talk about it, and I'm fine with all of that. I think, like I said, all of that's a legitimate way to make adult decisions. But part of what I realized is we got to be looking for where God is working. Like, what has God been doing? What has God been saying? How is God responding to us being there? Is he active when we're there? Do we see him at work? Do we hear him teaching us? And then, because this is such a hard thing, again, there's not like a lot of handholds and footholds, so then this sort of drifts off into this like murky fog of like, what now? What are we doing? So then I was like, all right. And there's this article from the Gospel Coalition. I don't know if you ever look at the Gospel Coalition website, but they had an article that I found was helpful for how do I know that God is at work? How do I actually sense that something's going on in my heart or in my life or in my relationships where I see God at work? And they had some suggestions. Number one, God is working when we value Jesus more than we used to. When we think more of Jesus than we used to, something is happening from God, right? Because that's not my natural inclination, you know, even now, right? Not exactly what I do. So when I'm valuing Jesus more, God is at work. Number two, when I resist Satan or sin or worldly desires more, God is at work. That's why he sent his son, was to redirect our life and get us on a new track. Number three, when we believe the Bible more, when we're hearing the Bible more and filling our thoughts with Scripture, God is at work because it's his word. And lastly, if we love Jesus and we love one another more, God is at work. That's just kind of common sense, but it helps me think through some family choices and some other life choices, like, am I valuing Jesus more? But then there's another one that I have to add. That's a good list. I'm not sure I could have come up with it on my own, but there's one I realized as I was listening. I was like, oh, yeah, there's a few more things I would add. And one of them is, am I depending on God more? Because part of what I'm navigating is, what does trust look like? I've shared before, I want to be in control. I'm one of those people that's like, I want to control, I want to name, I want to manage, I want to, you know, all that kind of stuff. I want to figure it out, have a plan, and make things just right. Even before I came up here to worship, I said to Angela and to Stephanie, like, I'm thinking through, and I, you know, this and that. And Angela goes, I feel like we're just going to have fun worshiping the Lord, you know? And we did, right? And it's incredible. And it's like, yeah, we're just going to worship the Lord. I can just chill out, relax. He's got a plan. I'm just going to worship the Lord. So I have to constantly say, like, what does it look like for me to depend on God more? Because Christ was, in John, in the gospel, you read the whole thing, you'll see, Christ was fully dependent on God with all kinds of stuff, totally trusting God and all kinds of stuff. There's a great book, Henry Blackaby wrote it probably 20 years ago. It's called Experiencing God. I don't know if anybody's out here, some yeses, so some of you know that book. It really helped me. I was really, really young as a Christian, like just, you know, baby stepping. And this book, Experiencing God, it names seven ways to experience God. I'm not going to mention all of them this morning, but one of the seven is God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. And I love that the two come together. It leads you to a place that requires faith and action. So when I'm making these decisions, when I'm looking for these handholds to climb around my life and the circumstances going on, which one takes faith? Which one takes action? Climbing a wall is hard, by the way. The Luke's Love one, real easy. But when you get on the real ones, it gets tricky. It takes a lot of strength. Some options require faith, and they require action. They require effort. God's at work when you have to take an action step of faith. He's at work when you're moving away from sin or valuing Jesus more or loving other people more. Those are the moments when you say, I'm just doing what my daddy's doing. What I needed in my 20s was a paradigm shift. I needed a different way of looking at things. And I realized then I'm supposed to look for God at work and join him. And that's how I know I'm doing his will. That's how I navigate all the things I'm thinking about as I look at life differently and go, well, do I see God at work anywhere? Do I see God at work anywhere? And some of you practically are saying, yeah, but I have laundry to do and a job and my teacher's making me do homework. And, you know, now some of you have been on spring break all week. I shouldn't use the word homework. But you got, like, things coming up. Teachers want stuff. Parents want to do stuff. Clean your room. Pick up the yard. All these sorts of things go on, right? So how am I supposed to walk around with this, like, this new view, this new way of seeing things? Well, take heart. Christ has also set an example for you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, it's one of my favorite verses about Jesus as far as how we live our lives. Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus says, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Which gives me grace. I haven't been fully trained. Neither have you. But everyone, every student, after they've been fully trained, will be like their teacher. Jesus learned obedience, Hebrews 5:8 says. Jesus learned obedience. We learn obedience. We're still being trained. One day we'll be fully like our teacher. Everyone will be like that. Christ promised it. And we know he tells the truth. The trainer now, or the teacher for us as disciples, is the Holy Spirit. He's present inside of us. He wrote the scriptures. He works in our hearts and our minds and our relationships and all kinds of circumstances to train us. So, I want you to just understand, and I'll just do this quickly. when it comes to all that stuff, the laundry, what your teachers want, what your parents make you do, what your neighbors, you know, saying turn the music down, and all these other practical things of life, and the car's oil change light comes on, and then the gas light comes on, and, you know, you're just like, I need to get to work, and now I got to buy gas and get an oil change and all the rest. If you just think quickly about Jesus' life, he did all the same things you did. He needed to breathe, he needed to eat, he needed to sleep, so you got those regular needs. Just meet him. And then Jesus had simple instructions from the scriptures about how he was supposed to live as a faithful follower of God. So he went to worship, and he said prayers, and he read the scriptures, and he loved his neighbor, and just basic general functional things. And then what I'm talking about this morning came in at this third level, which is there were times when he looked around and he said, that's not my plan, that's not in the scriptures, that's not common sense, that's not the same as however you do laundry 2,000 years ago, but God's at work right there, and I'm doing what he's doing. So I'm going to have to do less laundry and do what he's doing, or do the laundry later and do what he's doing, or whatever that is. There's that third layer. I hope that makes sense. This is where that fits. So you don't have to stop doing your laundry. Please don't. You know, definitely keep doing your homework. Do what your boss tells you to do. Answer the phone. Change your oil. But there's these moments where you're going to say, I look out and I see God at work. Join him in that. Something else that makes this practical is, who's someone that you can learn from? That verse I read, Luke 6:40, talks about being trained. I think there's probably people in this room, people that you know around town, who can be part of training you, who can be part of helping you learn, helping you grow. Who are those people? You can look around and find those people. There's also people that you could be the teacher of, which sounds pretty awkward, quite honestly, to think of ourselves like, oh, I have something to teach somebody else. That sounds like arrogance, and you may need to check your heart, but it's probably not. It's probably just the way that somebody else grows. Student, teacher, training, 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 going back and forth. Jesus saw what the Father was doing, and he did it. And he helped other people learn along the way. He saw the Father working, and he did the same thing. Now, there's a great definition, one of our elders, Charlie, he's homesick this morning, so another one, not feeling well. But several months ago, Charlie preached, and he shared this definition. A disciple is someone who's following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and committed to the mission of Jesus. Following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, committed to the mission of Jesus. What does that look like in real life? They see God at work and they do it. Is he at work in themselves? Then change me, Jesus. Is he at work in somebody else? Oh, Jesus has a mission. I'll get involved in that. Is Jesus moving, leading, acting, taking me somewhere? Okay, I'm following him. Jesus saw the Father at work because people were following Jesus. People were being changed by Jesus. People were getting in on the mission of Jesus. So he saw God at work. We're going to start wrapping up here with John 5:18-23. If you want to turn back to John chapter 5, this is most of it. I'm going to read all of verses 18 through 23 for you. Close up with a few observations here. Verse 18 of chapter 5 says, "For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him." It's not a great way to start. Pretty early in the book of John, they're already talking about killing him. "Because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." His messiahship is right there. The context of what we're talking about is conflict between people who say they're following God and people who actually are following God. "Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him.'" There's a word in there, and I'm curious if you heard it several times. Did you notice the word doing? I know you were listening to a lot of text, but the word doing was used five times. Five times in five verses, Christ says, doing, 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 doing. So even though it's this paradigm shift for me, Christ is saying, it's not just a new way of seeing the world, it's doing. I see him at work, I'm doing something. I see him at work, I'm doing something. I'm doing something, I'm doing something, I'm doing something. It's not just ideas. Jesus had a changed perspective from what, for me, he has a changed perspective for me and for us as disciples that surprises us, but it's to see the Father at work and to do it, not just to see the Father at work. The expression of discipleship, or a definition of discipleship, if you want it to be really simple, is do what you see your Father doing. And wherever you feel like maybe I'm not there yet, that's okay. Every student will be trained. So the training is ongoing, but the goal is to see what the Father's doing and do it. You'll remember this delightful family's effort to finally get unpacked and moved in and hang the picture is always the last thing. It's maybe the last thing that we do. But these boys are just doing what they see their father doing. Oh, yeah, and what their mother tells them. They're just doing what their father is doing. I hope today's been a paradigm shift for you, a new pair of spiritual glasses. I know that in a group this size, many of you probably are not crazy about Instagram, but there's a tool, I'll call it, for those of you who aren't familiar on Instagram, and you can take photos, put them on Instagram with less words and more images is the idea, just to share on social media whatever you're doing, and you just take pictures. And there's this aspect, for those of you who don't know and don't use it all the time, to try to take your pictures with no filter, or if you have the Instagram app, you can choose all kinds of filters. I don't even know how many there are. There's filters to make a color picture black and white. There's pictures to do like this infrared thing. There's pictures to make it sepia toned. There's filters to make it, I don't know, they have names like Clarendon, and they make it like warmer or more yellow or browner or greener. Or there's like ways to play with the contrast if you're into photography, and you can make certain colors pop and be really bright, or the edges of things can be really sharp. There's all these filters. And then when you're taking these pictures, you can just put like a little description and say no filter, or you can put a little description and say such and such a filter is what I used. But it's all about how do I make this picture look, and how do I change the filters and get it to look just the way I want to, and then put it on Instagram and show it to everybody. What Jesus offers us that's unexpected discipleship is a different filter. It's the Father at work filter. So that when people look and they see the image of your life, they go, oh, that's the filter of what the Father's doing, which is not a great Instagram filter name because it's too long, but somebody can come up with a better one. But it's this filter that says, that's a person who sees God at work and does it. Yeah, they do laundry, they do their work, they do the rest of the stuff, they have to drive their car, all of that. But there's this other part of their life where I can tell, wow, that's a different filter. They've got like a different lens they're looking through, and it changes what they see, and it changes how they see the world. You can be trained to do this. Your job is to see the Father at work. Your job is to do what he does. Doing, 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 just like John 5 talked about, right? See the Father at work and do it. Jesus lived regular life, but he had this particularly faithful life. There was a sermon. Yeah, they're having a good time upstairs. Some of you wish you were upstairs right now. You can run around down here too, for the record. I'm super chill about that. If you want to get up and pace around, you do jumping jacks, whatever. I'm fine with that. You be yourselves. I'll be myself. Jesus lived this particularly spiritual life. I mentioned several months ago that sometimes life can seem, life in God can seem religious, or life in God can seem spiritual. Jesus lived them both, spiritual and religious. He brought the two together. Something unique was happening. Jesus is saying, I'm seeking God and I see him at work. I've got whatever that filter is, I've got that filter on and I see it perfectly and I see it always. This week, ask God to help you have open eyes. Ask him to help you see what's going on around you. You got to be trained. We've all got to be trained. I grew up hearing this phrase, stop and smell the roses, which I don't do typically, right? I feel too busy for that, or the roses aren't blooming, or honestly, I'm just task-oriented, so I just don't do it. It's just not in my nature to be like, stop and smell the roses. But it's like this phrase, right? As Christians, as disciples, what we need is to stop and see the Father working. And if you want to smell the roses along the way, go for it. But we can modify that idea, stop and smell the roses, and say, stop and see the Father working. Stop and see the Father working. And do it. Do whatever you see him doing. And if you don't see God at work, And you've prayed for it, you've asked for it, and you just don't see him at work. Well, then you know what? You're in level 1 and 2 of life. Just go live regular life and be generally faithful with all the ways of discipleship that you already know, like love your neighbors and give generously and say your prayers and read the scriptures, all these generally good discipleship things. But then when you see him at work, you know what to do, because you say, oh, I'm in that other moment of life. I got the filter on. I see the Father at work. Let's pray. We do say hallelujah, because we're just a bunch of people. We are just a bunch of people. And a lot more of our life is the stuff that feels like it needs doing. And I acknowledge I'm not even stopping to smell the roses. I'm just doing the things that feel like they need doing. And so much of my life, I'm coming up with what I think needs doing and setting my own goals and defining my own priorities or asking other people, you know, what am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to live and where am I supposed to go? And then the calendar's full, and pretty soon I've shared my Google Calendar with other people and I'm seeing what they're doing, and it just becomes about doing, 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 doing. And in the middle of that, you're offering us an alternative way of life, which is what you always do, Jesus. You always say, not that life, my life. Nope, nope, not that life, my life. And for a few minutes this morning, we've been surrendered to you, and we're asking you over the next several days, next several months, as much as you need to train us. We have confidence in you that the students that we are will someday be fully trained. And we pray that it'd move forward this week. And we'd start to say, I'm just doing what my daddy's doing. I'm just doing what my daddy's doing. I'm just doing what my daddy's doing. We're going to need your help, though. We are going to need your help, though, for all different kinds of reasons. And we thank you that you are mighty to save, and that you are particular, and you are present, and you are perfect, Holy Spirit, working in our lives. You know exactly what to do, Holy Spirit, and you walk with each one of us, and it's possible for us to keep in step with you, and that's our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.